myself doing tonight is paying attention to the words, because we're singing quite a few of the songs that we don't sing on a regular basis. And when we do that, when you're not quite as familiar with the song, you pay attention to the words a little bit. Boy, we've had some great songs tonight that we've been able to sing together. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's a Hebrews 11:1 definition of faith. And last week, as we began this study, we gave lots of introduction to this chapter. The whole study about the scope, and what is the scope of this whole chapter 11? It involves some of chapter 10 and a good majority of chapter 12, but what could you sum up what the whole object or the scope or the theme would be of this whole passage? Faith, all right. Could you add a little more to that? All right, so it was again related to exercising a belief in the promises of God. And so that's what this passage is about. You hear what God says, you believe what God says, and then you walk in faith, believing what God has said. Even if things are difficult, you wait patiently for what God has promised. And that's kind of the whole scope of this passage, that we have all of these examples of those who exercised faith even though they couldn't see it. And they exercised faith even though it was difficult. And they exercised faith and they waited patiently for God to fulfill his promises. Aren't you glad God keeps his promises? And tonight we can wait patiently for God to keep his promises. One day, we are going to have a government that's just. And it's not just going to be the United States, it's going to be worldwide. And I can't wait. Of course, I'm going to have to, right? I'm going to have to wait patiently. Even though there are a lot of things that I don't like that are going on in the world today, I'm going to have to wait patiently for God to fulfill his promises. So let's turn back to the book of the Revelation. I'm just seeing if you're paying attention. I looked around to see how many of you would look up to me with question, but Hebrews chapter 11, please. I do that in my class sometimes to see if my boys are listening, you know. And sometimes I don't think they're listening, and they actually are, so that's good. But then sometimes when I think they're listening, they're not. So I guess they kind of even it out once in a while. Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What was that word substance? We kind of gave a meaning of fulfillment of that word substance. What does that mean? Something that stands under. And what do we call that which stands under something else? Foundation. And so we have a foundation for our faith, something that stands under our faith. When I got saved, I didn't just leap into the dark, into the unknown. There was a foundation for my faith. The foundation was, thus saith the Lord. And that was the foundation. Faith is not just leaping into the dark. Faith is leaping into the arms of Christ. And he's the one that can save us. And so we found that our faith has a foundation. It's the things that we hope for. And why do we hope for certain things? Because God has promised them. And so we are building a foundation based upon what God has promised, and we have that as a foundation for our faith. But faith is also the evidence of things not seen. And so that word evidence last Sunday night, we suggested, meant what? Proof. Or then because we have proof, now it brings us certain conviction. And so this word can also be translated conviction. It's the conviction of things hoped for and of things not seen. It's the conviction. I have perfect conviction within my heart today that even though I can't see certain things today, they are real and that they exist and that God has promised, and I am expecting him to fulfill his promises. Now, we have had that definition in verse 1, but we also then move on into verse 2 and 3, and we also have some additional information about why we can trust that foundation and why we can accept and have the conviction that God is going to do what he says he will do. We learn about a group called elders here. Elders. Now, I hope you understand that the word elders is used in different terms, different ways in the Bible. What is one way the word elder is used? To talk about a pastor. Pastors sometimes are called elders. They are sometimes called bishops. They are not all different offices. They are the same office, but give different responsibilities within that office. Just for instance tonight, how many of you are a brother to somebody? How many of you are a father to somebody? How many of you are a son to somebody? All right, how many of you are a sister to somebody? How many of you are an aunt to somebody? How many of you are a mother? All right, so how many of you are a daughter? You know, so we all have different titles, but does that mean we're different people? No, we're all the same person. We just have different roles within that. And I believe that's how the Bible uses the terms pastor, bishop, elder, that he uses them as different roles within the office of the pastor. But is that how this passage is used? Is this talking to just pastors that had a good report? No, the word elders, I think I heard it from Bob back there, should be translated here as aged or ancients, those who are ancients. Now, it's not really a compliment if somebody says that I'm ancient tonight. You know, but I'm moving in that direction, according to some people. The word elder here is just, it's a term that's referring to those who had reached a certain level of maturity and a level of those who have through that maturity demonstrated that they are have reached a certain level, perhaps of age as well. So we look back at the ones that we're going to look at in this verse. And what are they also called? They're called elders here in verse 2. But what are they called in chapter 12, verse 1? Yeah, witnesses, a cloud of witnesses. So they are called elders here. And now over in verse 12, the same group of people that he's going to start talking about in this faith chapter, the same group of people here are called elders, and they're called later a great cloud of witnesses. And so as we've already seen, the scope of this passage is that we are encouraged to not turn back. We're encouraged in this passage to not give up. We're encouraged to move forward in faith, just like these elders and just like this cloud of witnesses didn't have evidence of something they could see, didn't have the receiving of the promises yet, but they accepted those things as well as if they had already been accomplished. And how do they do that? By faith. And so we need patience in view of great tribulations, which these Hebrew Christians were going through, that they will pass through those tribulations, and God is faithful on the other side to fulfill his promises, and that he will continue to take care of that. Now, they obtained a good report. We're going to look, and actually we're going to tear this verse apart word by word tonight, this little verse for by it. By what? Faith. That's what's referred to up in verse 1. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Again, before we do that, if we go back to the word witness in chapter 12, verse 1. Do any of you know what the word witness means? It's a word that comes from the Greek martyrios, which means martyr. It's one who isn't just one who would give a testimony, like a witness at a trial, but one who is so convinced of the truth, and so convinced of the promises of God, that they are willing to die for them, and therefore be a testimony to us of giving their life because they had such strong faith that these promises would be accomplished. Now, I know we're going to jump around a little bit tonight, but if you go back to the latter part of this chapter, chapter 11, look at some of the things that happened to these who were trying to be witnesses of the truth and of their faith. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. But others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, torment, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report, we had that good report mentioned in verse 2, a good report, received not the promise. They hadn't yet seen Christ. They hadn't yet received all of those promises that they were expecting. And yet, they became, many of them, martyrs. And now, it's very interesting. In chapter 11, verse 2, we have a word for report. And we also find that same word for report is found again later in this same chapter. But when you go to chapter 12, verse 1, you have the identical word used again. Only one time it's used as a verb and one time it's used as a noun. But it's the same word, really. Just a noun form and a verb form of it. Report is the same word as witness. It's the same word as witness. The report. They had a good report. They had a good witness. They had a good testimony. That's how the word is used here. They became witnesses for God, and they became this great cloud of witnesses. even though they saw the promises far off. And it was by a faith such as these had, who were strengthened to suffer, who were faithful even in the midst of much persecution. And so they are now going to be the examples of what the whole scope of this passage is: to wait patiently by faith until the promises of God are fulfilled. Now, let's turn to back to Romans chapter 8 for a moment. Paul has some things to say as well, similar things to the Romans, back in chapter 8, verse 24. Romans 8, 24. Says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope." Then do we with patience wait for it. I skipped down to verse 5. Let's go back to verse 24. "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it." And that's exactly what he is encouraging the believers here to do, to wait patiently for that which they cannot see. It's called hope, and it's called faith. And so we see, again, in chapter 10, verse 39, "And these all, having obtained a good report," a good testimony, a good witness through faith, "received not the promise." And so they are exhorted to wait patiently until that happens. In the midst of talking about appearing before the Lord someday, Paul again in 2 Corinthians 5 says what? We walk by faith and not by sight. This is the essence of the whole chapter here of chapter 11. And it begins in verse 3 with a statement of the events that are going on around us. Now let's read verse 3 of chapter 11. "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Now again, a very quick reading of that verse makes us think he's talking about creation. But as we look at the word used for worlds here, by faith or through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We have some unusual words being used here that aren't the typical words that we would think of. What's the word usually that we find for the word world? Cosmos. That's the world, cosmos. Well, that's not the word used here. That's the word used for the created world, the cosmos. But that's not the word found here. We also have a word that talks about the inhabited world. But that's not the word that's used here as well. And there's another Greek word that talks about the earth and the dust. And it's not, and sometimes it's translated world, but it's not the word here. We have a fourth and different word used here, and it's one that I think you would probably recognize. It's called ion or ion. We say it, the eons is how we would usually say it in English. What is an eon? An age. And so what he's literally saying here is that through faith, we understand that the ages, those ages that we might call, what are we learning in Sunday school? dispensationalism. That's another way that this word is sometimes translated, dispensations. The eons, the ions, as it is in Greek, these ages, these dispensations that God has put together, and it's plural here, it's not just a world, it's worlds, these ages. And that's what he's saying in the book of Matthew when it says that he is going to use us and he's going to send us out even unto the end of the world. He's going to be with us. It's the word age, the end of the age. And so again, we find that rendering here. And so we see that these ages are events that are happening around us, and it's the various ages that proceed, and it's all that God has going on around us. And how did all those ages come to pass? Just by chance? No, because this passage says, we understand by faith that even all of the events happening in all of the ages don't just happen by chance. They happen by the fact that they were framed by the Word of God. Do you see any framing going around you, even maybe tonight a little bit? When we use the word framing, what do we talk about a little bit? Do we usually think about carpentry? Do you think about carpentry when you think of framing? I do. I think of carpentry that we put up the frame, you know, and we build. Well, we've had a little bit of carpentry and some framing going on around here. Have you noticed it? Have you all noticed it? We've had some carpentry going on here that David has been doing for us and getting rid of some of the old paneling that's been here. Anybody know how long that paneling's been here? Forever? So we're along with what we've been doing, we're continuing to try to upgrade things a little bit. But you know what? That's not how the word frame is used here. It's not talking about things that you nail things to or anything like that. It is a word that really speaks to us about something that has been prepared. In fact, let's read the exact same verse in chapter 5, the exact same word. Go back to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 5. 5:5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. The word there is made, and it's the word that is translated oft times in Scripture is prepared. He glorified not himself to be prepared in high priest, because God prepared him to be that high priest, not himself. And so it's the word, it means prepared. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says, perfectly joined together by preparation. So what has God done here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3? He has put together and prepared what? All the ages. He's put them all together and prepared them for us, so that we have the confidence that all things work together for good to them that love God, because God has put it all together. And that wonderful truth that in the fullness of time, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, and according to his purposes, Ephesians talks about in chapter 3, the purpose of the ages, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then, so this is really what he's saying here. By faith, we understand, we perceive that the ages were prepared so that the things we see come to pass not from things that appear. Through faith, we understand that the ages were prepared by the Word of God. Now, again, what is some of us who've studied a little bit and known some things, what is the normal word for word in the Bible, in the New Testament? Logos or logos. L-O-G-O-S, logos. That's the word translated when Jesus said in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But this is not the word for word here. This is a different word, which means revealed sayings. What do we call revealed sayings that are future yet? Prophecy. Let's think about that when we talk about this verse. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed even by the revelation of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So he has this whole picture of sight involved. It's not what you see. It's what you understand because God has spoken it. Continues to drive home his point that we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we think about all the things, and they're going to be mentioned in this passage. Noah walked by faith, and he learned about something that had never appeared before that time. What was he doing in regard to what he had heard? Building an ark, even though he'd never seen a flood, because he'd never seen rain. And so there were things that he had never seen, yet he exercised faith in doing what God told him to do. And we see Abraham and Sarah seeing something that by faith that they just couldn't see with their eyes. And what was that? That even though their bodies were way past the time of being able to bear children, what did they do? They didn't look at things as they were. They looked through the eye of faith and believed God. And when you come down to Joseph considered everything that was going on in Egypt, and he still believed God that there was going to be a day when he was going to go up. He believed it so much that what did he instruct everybody to do? Take my bones with you when you go. He had faith. And we look at Moses. And Moses lived there in Egypt with all the splendor and glory of Egypt. But what did he do? He, according to this passage, voluntarily surrendered it all. He refused the treasures. He chose the sufferings. He esteemed the reproach of Christ as better. And look at the testimony in verse 27 of Moses. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. He was walking by faith, not by sight. And these elders, these ancients, had a good witness for us, a good testimony, a good report. And over the next several weeks, we're going to look at this report. We're going to look at this testimony, person by person, as to their testimony for us. But as we conclude tonight, remember that in verse 1, we have a definition of faith. In verse 2, we have the fact that this faith was exhibited to us by the elders. And then in verse 3, we're told that this faith in its nature always has regard to things which are not seen. And so we do not judge by outward appearance. We judge as we understand things through the eye of faith. And then we're going to see, starting in verse 4, our first example. And that first example is Abel. And we're going to look at his testimony to us starting next Sunday afternoon. Let's pray. Lord, we would, as a disciple once cried out, Lord, increase our faith. We would increase our faith tonight. We would grow in faith. We would desire that we would have a stronger faith. For we know that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so I pray that through this study, we will look at the testimony of those who've gone on before us, who walked by faith and not by sight, and we will too learn to walk that same way. So bless this study to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.